Beginning the current daf, Maseches Chagiga, daf Chaf Hei. Begin on the third line of the top from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins the Gemara explaining the Mishnah of the previous daf. And that is, we had a previous Mishnah that spoke about the opening of this parak that had Chaymer B'Kodesh Min B'Truma. There were 11 stringencies that Kachem had over Truma. Now our Mishnah on daf Chaf Dal Amud Beis said about 2 stringencies that Truma has over Kachem. The first stringency was that although Amaratzim are not believed when it's not during the times of the wine press and the olive press regarding the tahara of the wine and the oil, however, regarding kachim, they will be believed. Now, it's said in our Mishnah that this chaymen b'betrumah is shebi Yehuda, that in Judea, where the Eretz Yisrael is split up into 3 different parts, there's Yehuda, there's the Galil, and there's Eva HaYarden, Transjordan. So it's said that in Yehuda, they're believed on the tahara of Yain and Shemen throughout the year regarding kachim, unlike by Truma. So the Gemara makes an inference and asks, Yehuda in, it sounds like only in Judea, in the part of Eretz Yisrael that's Yehuda, there the Amaratzim are believed regarding Kachim of the wine or of the oil throughout the whole year. But Ubegalilai, but not in the Galil. So they ask my time, but what's the reason? Why should they be more believed in Yehuda than in the Galil? So Amar Shlakish, he says, that's for a technical reason. Because there's a strip of land from different lands, that's from the Kutim, from the Eretz Ha'amim, that Mafsekes Beinem, that cuts between the Galil and Yehuda. Now, Yerushalayim, where the Beis HaMikdash is what we're talking about Kachim, when they would bring the wine for the Nesachim, or the oil for, let's say, even the Menachis. So the problem is that they can't bring their, even if they were believed, let's say we're believing Amaratzim regarding Kachim with their oil and the wine, but it wouldn't make a difference. They can't bring it to Yerushalayim in the state of purity anyway. And the reason is because the Chachamim made a gezerah of Tumah on all the lands that are outside of Eretz Yisrael. So as Rashi says, actually, even if those in Galil are Chaverim, are people that are Tamid Chachamim and meticulous with the Lachas of Tara, even from them we wouldn't be able to accept their wine and their oil for Nesachim and for the Menaches, because there's the Eretz Am that's between them, and that's why Mishnah only spoke about Yehuda, that because Yehuda is the only place where there's no Eretz Ha'amim, there's no other lands that are in the way from where the person is to Yerushalayim to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. And since they're believed regarding Kachim throughout the whole year, from there they can bring it, but from the Galil, for a technical reason, they can't bring it because they're going to be passing through this strip of land that will make it Tame. But the Gemara asks, but let's put these Kachim that they're bringing, this wine or this oil, put a Besheda in the carriage, or Teva in the trunk, or Migdal in the closet, where then it will not come into contact with the land of the nations, and that's how you could transport it. So if they're believed essentially in the halacha of the tahara, of the kachim, so you're just saying there's a strip of land, but there's a way to get past it by putting in a closed area. So that the Gemara says, Hamani, who's the town of our Mishnah that wouldn't allow that, and that's what it only says regarding Yehuda? It's Rabbi Hidama that he says, Oil Zarek, a thrown tent, meaning that it's being transported, it's being moved, Lav Shmei Oil is not deemed in halacha like a tent, meaning to then separate this area from the land of the nations. And since there's a gezerah on the land of the nations, and we don't view it as a distinct area because it's in this tent, meaning in this canopy, this closed off area in the trunk or in the closet, because it's moving. If it's moving, we don't see it as a separate entity. Hence, we view it in the Eretz Ha'amim when it's being passed through. The time that we learn the Braisa, this machloek is the hanichnis la'eretz ha'amim, b'sheid, b'tevo, b'migdol. If someone goes into the lands of the nations, where again we said there's a gzeres chacham that we consider those lands tameh, in an enclosed area, Rabbi Mitame. Rabbi says that it's tameh, again, because since it's moving, we don't view it as an oil, as a separate area, and therefore it's in the eretz ha'amim. Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Matar, you're right, according to Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, the Amaratzim would be able to bring it not just from Yehuda, they would also be able to bring it from the Galil, because he has a way to do it by putting in a carriage or a trunk or a closet. But our Mishnah is like Rabbi, who holds that that won't work. But the Gemara still asks, V'laisu b'kli cheres ha'mukiv tzamed pasal. Why don't you put it? There's a way to protect the kachim wine and oil that you want to bring. Put it in an earthenware vessel that's closed off with a sealed top, where there no tumah can penetrate. And if that's the case, there's a way to get it through the Eretz Ha'amim. So Amar Reb Eliezer, he says, Shainin, we learned, that is Tanoim Tord in Abraisa, that Ein Hekdesh Nitzel B'tzamet Pasal. Although regarding the halachas of tumah, we generally say that if it's in a Kli Cheres that's surrounded with a Tzamet Pasal, where Cheres cannot contract tumah from the outside, that doesn't work regarding Kachim, and therefore that's not an option either. The Gemara asks, but how can you say that? But Tanya, in the Braisa that says, Ein Chatos, now as we had learned in the previous Mishnah, the ashes of the Paraduma, which are used to purify someone that came in contact with a corpse, that's the highest level of stringencies that we apply. So the Braisa says that these Chatos ashes, they're not Nitzelis B'tzamed Pasal. They cannot be protected from Tumah by putting into this sealed earthenware flask. So the question is, my love, HaKodesh Nitzel, sounds like only the Mechatas, only that high level standard, but for regular Kachim, it would be protected in Tzamed Pasal. So how can you say that it's not an option regarding Kachim in Tzamed Pasal? So I think what says Loi, that's not the appropriate diuk, the inference. This that we picked that Ein Chatas, that the Chatas waters and ashes will not be saved with Tzamed Pasal, it doesn't come to infer, but Kachim would be. Rather, the diuk is HaMayim She'enu Mekudashim, however, water that was not sanctified yet for the purpose of the Mechatas, meaning that the ashes weren't put in yet, they are Nitzalim B'Tzamed Pasal. They could be saved with the Tzamed Pasal, and that is, they would be still valid, these waters, to sanctify them by putting in the ashes afterwards. However, it's not coming to say that, however, that Kachim would be. Kachim is the same as Mechatas. The reason why we picked the Chatas was to say only when it has already been sanctified with the ashes inside. But if the ashes are not in yet, inside that water, then that could be saved by being put in a sealed flask, even though that water is ultimately going to be used for the ashes of Paraduma. Now, however, the Gemara asks on the discussion that we had up until now. But Va'ama Ula Ula said, Chavraya Midachon, our friends are purifying their wines and their oils for the Mizbeach, Beglila, in the Galil. Now the question is, if there is a Ritzua, if there's this strip of the Eretz Am that separates the Galil from the Beis HaMikdash, so what's the purpose that they're making it in a state of purity? It doesn't make a difference, it's not going to help. What are you doing that you think you're going to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash in the state of purity for Nesachim or for other purposes? You cannot, because the Eretz Am are in the way. And we just delineated and we showed that there's no way for them to get from where they are to there, because it won't help with Oil Zarek, and it won't help with Tzamed Pasal. I think Moran says, you're right. There's no way for them to bring it. So why are they doing it in the state of Tahara? Menichen, they're doing it in the state of purity and they're leaving it in the Galil. And it's that when Eliyahu HaNavi will come and they'll show them a path through where they live to the Beis HaMikdash that's not part of the Eretz Amim, then they'll be able to bring it in the state of purity, and they're already doing it for that state, that when Eliyahu HaNavi will come, they'll already have it appeared in the state of Tahara. Now the Mishnah said, although this is a stringency of Truma of a Kachim, that for Kachim we believe the Amaratzim all year round regarding their oil and their wine, but regarding Truma we don't. However, the Mishnah did say that Ubishas Akitis, however, at the time of the pressing of the wines and of the oil, Neman Afal Truma, at that time period, we believe the Amaratzim even regarding Truma. Now that the Gemara adds, but Verminu, there's a Mishnah Masechtas Tarius that seems to contradict the Mishnah there says that regarding an Amaratz, Hagoymer Zesa, that if he's coming to complete the processing of his olives, I mean he's coming to turn them into oil. So the Mishnah in Tyrus there says, Yishayer Kupa Achas, he shall leave one basket of olives to the side for the purposes of his truma, meaning not to put it into the Beis Abad, not to press it. And then, Vietnenu Le'oni, which that literally means the pauper, but Tyrus has the Girsa Eine, as it seems from Rashi, similar idea, Vietnenu Le'ene Kain, and then you give it in the full sight of the Kohen, who he sees that these olives were never prepared, meaning they were never susceptible to Tumah, because they weren't put in the pressing house where there's so much liquid coming out. And then the Kohen takes it, so it's always still in its dry state, and then he'll do it in the state of Tahara. Now, one thing that we see, which is what the Gemara's question is, from the Mishnah Masechtas Tiras, that even at the times of the Gittis and the Badim, that they're not believed, because we're saying when they're going to press, we don't let them take that box. No, that box put on the side. Don't come near where the liquids are pouring out. And then give it to the Kohen. Let the Kohen see that it never got wet. And then he'll go ahead and do it in the state of Tahara, because it cannot become Tameh when it's still dry. But why? If we just said in our Mishnah that we do believe them regarding even Truma and the state of the Gittis and the Beis Abad, so why don't we let him in the Mishnah Tiras to go ahead and press it for oil and wine too? So Amram Nachman says, Leikash, it's not a contradiction. Ha, Becharfi. Our Mishnah that said they're believed at the times of the Beis Abad and the Gita is Toma Becharfi that it was early, meaning it was during the season of when everyone's pressing. Then they're believed, because as we explained, at that time, older Kalim are Tahar. But ha ba'afle, and the Mishnah Masechtas Tyrus that said that they're not believed is talking about that they're late season, and therefore the time of the Gitas for the majority of the world has already passed, and therefore it's not anymore b'zman ha'gitas. That's not the time period when the Chacham said we believe them, and that's why they're not believed, and that's why you would have to leave it on the side if you're Amah Aretz to then give it to the Kayin so that it never became susceptible to Toma. However, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Adbar Ava, he says, Kegoin Mai, what exactly would that mean, the late ones? So he answered him, Kegoin Eisen Shel Beis Avicha, like those of your fathers, where those are late. If you want to know what would it mean if a person was Amah Aretz, that he would not be able to be believed, it's like those of your father. A second interpretation the Gemara brings to resolve this contradiction of our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechtas Tyrus is Rav Yosef Amar. He says, over there in Tyrus was Beglila Shanu, was talking about in the Galil. We actually, some have the Girsa that Migdolei Mehem Ne'akodesh, since we don't believe him regarding Kachim, as we explained that in the Galil, it won't help because they have that Ritzuah, so too we wouldn't believe him regarding Truma. Now, however, our Mishnah that said that he is believed the Amah Aretz was talking about in Yehuda, where the beginning of the Mishnah said that in Yehuda we believe him regarding the tahiris of wine and oil, meaning regarding kachim, the entire year. Then the Mishnah continues, says, however, regarding Truma, we'll even believe him at the time of the Gitas and the Badim. But regarding the Galil, there we never believe him, even regarding kachim, again, because there's no way for them to bring it, and it's only applicable in Yehuda, so therefore the same thing would apply regarding their Truma too. Now, Esvi Abaya asked, however, from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Eva Haryad, regarding the three different parts of Eretz Yisrael, Transjordan, Vigalil, Harihen Ke Yehuda, they have the same halachic status like Judea, and that is Nemanim, their belief regarding Truma, Alayayin Meshas Ayayin, as we said, when they're pressing the wine, then they're believed, Valashem Meshas Hashemen, on the oil, when they're pressing it, they believe regarding the oil, Avaloi alayayin b'shas hashemen, but they won't be believed on the pressing of their wine if it's the pressing season for the oil. Avaloi alashem b'shas hayayin, neither will they be believed on their oil when it's only the season for pressing the wine. But one thing that we see is that we do believe the people, even the Amaratzim in the Galil and in Eivar HaYarden, if it's the time of the Kitas in the Badim. So therefore the Gemara concludes, Machvarta Kedesh Nimirka, rather it's clear that we can't say Reb Yosef's interpretation, that Begalil, and that's why not believed, because see, they are believed, so must be the way to resolve the contradiction is that our Mishnah is talking about that they're in the season, and therefore when it's the times of the Gitas and the Badin, they are believed, and that Mishnah Tayyus was talking about that it was already past that season, so it's not, he's doing his own pressing, but it's not when the world is pressing, therefore we don't believe him, and therefore then they would have to leave the basket to the side, and make sure it doesn't become susceptible to Tumah. Now the Mishnah said, however, if already passed the season of the pressing of the wine and the oil, and then the Am Aretz brings him a barrel of wine of Truma, you can't receive it from him. This is a stringency of Truma, whereas Kachim we do take from him throughout the entire year. By Truma, we don't. But the trick is, the Am Aretz, what he could do is, no one's taking from him anymore, he leaves it for the next time of the pressing, and then he's believed. Carte blanche. So then he could go ahead and give, even though it's from the last time when he pressed it, not during the pressing season now. Now the Gemara had the following question. What's the halacha if the Kohen violated this prohibition of receiving it from him if it's not during the times of the Gitas and the Badim? Meaning, just like we said that the Am Aretz himself could save it for the next time of the pressing, where then he can give it to him. What's the halacha if the Kohen took it during those seasons, which you're not allowed to take it? Can he then hold on to it for the next season of the pressing? Or do we say that no, that this time is forbidden? We don't trust him at this time, and that's when you took it. So we consider it Tomei forever. So Amalahu, so Rav Shesha responded to them, Tinisu, we learned this clearly in the Mishnah Masechtas Demai. We continue on Tomei Beis with the Mishnah said as follows. Chavar v'ama Aretz. You have two brothers, someone that's meticulous in the halachas of Tahiris, a Tamal Chacham, and the other brother is a Ama Aretz, a ignoramus, who is not considered trustworthy regarding the halachas of Tum and Tahara. Shayashra Saviyam, Ama Aretz, they inherited their father, the father passed away, who he himself was also an Ama Aretz. Now there's the two brothers that are inheriting this father. So the Mishnah tells us, Yochel Leimelai, the Chaver, the Tamal Chacham, the one who's meticulous about Tum and Tahara, can tell his brother Ama Aretz, look, we have to split it. Tolat Techit and Shemamah complain, you take the wheat in that place, where the Tamal Chacham knows that that or wheat already became susceptible to Tumah. And his father, his Amah Aretz, was definitely not careful, so they're Tumah. So he could tell his brother, look, you take those wheat, I'm going to take the wheat in that place, where he knows that they were not susceptible to Tumah yet. Similarly, you take the wine in that place. I'll take the wine in that place. Now, the reason is, since they're both from the same species, whether it's wine or whether it's wheat, so there we say the halachic concept of breira, where retroactively we say that each one is taking the portion that was actually inherited to him, which is, that's what the concept of breira means, that it's just clarifying what always was mine, what always was yours. And essentially, the chaver is not swapping with the Am HaAretz his portion and what was tameh, so that he could get the Am HaAretz portion of what's tar. That's not what's going on. This is retroactively revealed that was always yours and this was always mine. So that you could do. But the Mishnah there says, but the chaver cannot tell his brother Am HaAretz, look, tolat lach v'ni yavish. You take the wet stuff, the liquids, and I'll take the dry stuff. Because dry is not susceptible to tumah, and liquid is. Moreover, tolat chitin v'ni sarim. You take the wheat, and I'll take the barley. Now, there you can't do that. The reason is because that would be two different types of things. The liquid is different than the dry stuff he's taking. The wheat is different than the barley. Where when it's two different things, you can't say the halacha concept of breira, meaning to say that because when the father passed away, everyone gets a portion in every species of every type of thing that there is. Now, if that would be that he's giving him totally the liquid and he's taking totally the dry, it would be that they're swapping. Now, the problem with the swapping is that then the Talmud Chacham, the Chavar, is going to be transgressing the prohibition of lifnei evil l'sita mechshol. And the reason for that is because since some of the things he's going to be giving him is going to be tahar, and it's essentially considered like he's giving it to him because they're swapping. Now, when his brother Am HaAretz goes ahead and is metameit, which that's a negative prohibition, comes that his brother who gave it to him was assisting in this prohibition of being metame the produce of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he's considered violating the law of lifnei evil l'sita mechshol. That's the Mishnah Masechtas Demai. Now, betani Allah, and we learned in the Braisa regarding this Mishnah that oisei chaver. So this Talmud Chacham, if he's a Kayan and there is oil over there that he couldn't switch and say, look, you take all the liquid, I'll take all the dry, because we say that's a halachic problem of lifnei evil. So he's stuck with some liquids, which he knows for sure became tameh from his father. So if he's a Kayan and there's some oil there that is truma, so sarif halach, what he does is he burns the liquid. In other words, he lights it for fuel for a candle. But he could leave the dry things. The dry things did not become susceptible to tumah, but the liquids, well, he knows for sure, became tameh. So he could go ahead, he cannot consume it, but he could burn, you're allowed to utilize tameh truma and use it as a way of, as fuel. That's what the Braisa said. Now, this is the conclusion of the proof. Now, amai, why does he go ahead and have to burn the liquid? Let him leave that oil that his father had inherited to him, which again, his father's Am HaAretz, where we take for granted that it was tameh. But the thing is, you could leave it for the next gas, and at the gas, then no matter even if it came from Am HaAretz, by the next time of the pressing, we say that they're trusted and that it is tahar. So obviously, regarding your question, if you get it between the times of the pressing, can you save it for a later time when the gas is going to come and then it'll be tar? Obviously not. Because if you were able to, then why do you have to go ahead and burn it? Just keep it till the time of the gas and then you'll be able to use even the lach and you won't have to burn it. Then the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. B'davar she'en l'gas. The Mishnah in Masechta Dmai is talking about regarding something that doesn't have a pressing season like wine and oil. For example, let's say it was date beer of truma, where that there is no gas, and that's why you can't save the next gas. Now, although it uses the terminology of sarif halacha, burning it, which would only be applicable seemingly by oil, which does have a pressing season, Rashi says sarif just would mean that you have to burn it, you have to just consume it through fire, and that's why you use the term of sarif, not because you're using it as fuel, but just because you're getting rid of it, but it's not talking about something that has a gas. But if it did, maybe you would actually be able to leave it till then, and then the perkain would be able to use it. But the Gemara still asks, but via nechenel regel. So fine, there's no gas, but you should be able to leave it for the next yomtiv, because the halacha is that the tum of Am HaAretz does not apply by yomtiv. And then therefore you could sell it then. So why do you have to go ahead and burn it? So now the Gemara says, b'davar she'ein mishtam al regel. You're right, we're talking about something that just won't last till the yomtiv. And since it won't last, and you can't go ahead and consume it, and you can't save it to the next pressing season, or even if you could, because we're talking about something that just doesn't have a gas, and therefore there's no gas to save it for, and therefore one has to go ahead and be sorry for Salach. But the Gemara's question has not been resolved regarding if the Kohen receives it between the pressing season, can you then go ahead and save it for the gas or not? Because it could be this Mishnah Masechta Demai that says you have to burn them. It's talking about something that doesn't have a gas, like date beer. Now the Gemara continues quoting from a Mishnah that said, Vim Amar. Now if the Ama Aretz, who again he's not trusted regarding Truma if it's not at the time of the pressing, if he says, Hifrashti Latecha Rabbi's Kodesh, this Truma that I'm bringing you, I know that it's not the pressing season, and I know I'm not believed. But I just want you to know, besides the Truma that's inside, I also separated inside over there a quarter of a loig of Kachim wine, of Kachim oil, whichever one it is that he's bringing to the Kayan, then Neman. Then he's believed on the whole thing. And the reason is because since he's believed regarding the Kachim that's inside, so he's also believed regarding the Truma that's touching it. Now, regarding this that our Mishnah spoke about, we learned Tanan Hasam. We learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Olos. It says that Moedim Beishame Beshil Shebaitkin. Beishame Beshil both agree that one can inspect an area of a base hapras, which is the size of a field that he's walking through, la'ise pesach, for someone that's on his way to bring his karban pesach. As the Gemara shortly is going to be explaining, that if someone's on his way to bring his karban pesach, and there's a base hapras of a field where there was a grave there, but the problem is that the grave got plowed over. Now this field is in front of him, and the problem is that there could be bones from the corpse that's all over the field, and that's going to make the person tame. And if you're tame, you can't bring your karban pesach. But on the other hand, you have a karban pesach to bring. So the halacha is that you can inspect by blowing on the field as you're walking through that field. Now, if there's a bone the size of a barley corn, you'll see it and you'll stay away from it. And if the bone of a barley corn, which again, that you're staying away from, although you might be walking over it, there's no halacha of oil if it's just the size of a barley corn. It's only going to transmit tumma if you touch it or if you carry it. And that's why he's blowing to make sure that he doesn't kick it with his foot. But walking over it is not a problem. So on that, the Mishnah there says that they both agree that this halacha applies to someone that's coming to bring his karban pesach. We allow the leniency of just blowing to get through. However, ve'ein boitkin la'echli truma. You're not allowed to do this reliance of inspecting the field if you're just going to eat, you're on your way somewhere to eat your truma. You can't rely on this checking. Now the reason is because since there's no designated time when you have to eat the truma by, so if you're walking through this basic process, if that's the only way you can get to your destination, so then you gotta wait 7 days. On day 3 and day 7 you spray yourself and then you immerse yourself in the mikveh, and then you go ahead and eat your truma because maybe you became tummy when you were walking through this basic process. But regarding the karban pesach, since essentially this halacha beis hapras is only rabbinic, because there's no grave over here, and we don't know for sure if you're going to be touching a bone the size of a barley corn from this corpse, so the rabbanan did not insist that their halacha of making this tumma of beis hapras in a place where if you don't bring your karban pesach, because now you're going to be considered quote-unquote tamei, then you get karis for not bringing the karban pesach they have to bring. So b'malkim karis, they weren't maimed there devreihem, and did not consider this beis hapras as tamei, and therefore we apply by pesach this leniency, but not by truma. Now the Gemara asks, my boitkin. Now this that we said, that you have this beis hapras where there was a grave, and it was plowed over, and now the bones could be scattered all across this field. So he said there's a leniency of the karban pesach that you could inspect. So what does this mean that you inspect? So there's two interpretations in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, as we had just been explaining, says menapeach adam beis hapras v'hoylech. What the person does is that he blows on the ground. So walking over is not a problem, because no oil if it's just small pieces, even if it's the size of a sa'ira. But sa'ira could transmit tumma if you're kicking it, if you're going to be touching it. So you blow, and then you walk, blow and walk. So you make sure wherever you're walking, you're not going to be touching a bone from the corpse. Rav Chiya bar Abba Mishmei de Ulamer, he says that the checking is not the checking of the bones as you're walking through. The checking is a prior checking to before you even step in. It's talking about beis hapras shenidish. We're talking about a beis hapras, this area that was trampled by feet, then it's tahar. Then the whole area is considered pure, meaning that is the checking. You check beforehand, was it trampled on? If it was trampled on, then all the bones have already been pulverized and there's no bone here that can transmit tumma. Or if it wasn't pulverized, that is something that we allow for that checking for the karban pesach, and then you could just easily walk through. But again, that will not apply for the halachas of truma. As the Gemara explains the reason for this difference, La'ise Pesach, for those that are coming to do their Korban Pesach, La'imid Adivrein, B'makom Karis. Since this halacha besa pras is a rabbinic mailav, saying that we consider this rabbinically tamid because you might be touching, so the Rabban did not institute their gezera when there's a karis, a time-bound mitzvah say of Korban Pesach that you have to bring or else you get karis. They said, we're not going to be considering that as tamay, or that you blow and you make sure you're not touching the bones. But lo'ilchich truma, if someone's just going to eat his truma, he made the rambam makom misa, they did institute their gezera, the rabbanan, in a place where, for example, if someone becomes tamay as he's walking through, if he eats truma, he's chayv misa. So they said, look, there's no set time when you have to eat your truma. Now, if you're walking through, you might become tamay. If you're tamay, then you're going to get chayv misa for eating the truma in that state. Therefore, they would not allow this leniency. And when after you walk through, you have to count 7 days and have the hazois on day 3 and day 7, and then tayvel, and then you can go ahead and eat your truma. Now, the Gemara has the following question, which will then come back into the discussion of the halacha of our Mishnah. Ibarlu, they had the following question. Badak lepeschai, if someone inspected the space of pras because he was on his way to bring his Korban Pesach, which that allowed. Now, ma'o sheyuchel b'trumasa. Now, once he's already checking it and we let him walk through to remain tahar, to bring his Korban Pesach, what's halacha? Could he also eat his truma now? Because he's tahar, as we see, because we allow it for Korban Pesach. So have machlekes. Ulamar, he says, badik lepeschai, mutalecha b'trumasai. If your inspection was allowed because of the Korban Pesach, then you're also allowed to eat your truma. Rabbi Ulamar, he says, no, badik lepeschai, osalecha b'trumasai. Even if you inspected it for your Korban Pesach, and we let you walk through, and we consider you tahor to bring your Korban Pesach, but we don't allow you to eat your truma, and for that, we will consider you that you are tamei because you walk through the Pesach Pras, which is not permitted for truma. Now, Amalei Ahu Saba, so this elder said to Rabbi Ula, says, don't argue on Ula, because the halacha is like he said, that it is going to be permitted to even eat your truma. Because it's non-kavasei, because we learned like him in our Mishnah, as we said, that Amar, that if the Amaret says, Hifrashti l'teicha revi'is kodesh nem, he says that although he's not believed, when it's not during the times of the wine or the oil presses, and he brings you truma, you can't take it, but if at that time he says, you know, I just want you to know, what I'm bringing you is not just truma. I also designated part of it as a quarter of a lug as kachim, meaning to be brought as nesachim in the Beis HaMikdash. Then he's believed not only on the kachim, which he is believed all year round, but migu he's believed on that, he's also believed regarding the truma that's there, that it is tahar. So he said, this elder says to him, Alma med mehemen ha-kodesh, mehemen ha-truma. So what do you see? You see this concept of migu, that once we believe him, that the kachim, that it's tahar, because we do, so we also believe regarding truma, as Rashi explains, because that would be degrading for the mizbeach, to say that, look, they're in the same jug. Now the truma that's touching it is going to be considered tamei, because that we are stringent, but the hektish that's near it will be brought on the mizbeach. That's degrading for the mizbeach to say that we're less stringent regarding its halachas of tahara, in contrast to the truma. So since they're in the same jug, we say, okay, if we believe him regarding the kachim, which we do, we believe most regarding the truma. So therefore, Hachinami says, heros, in the case that you're arguing with Ula, may the behemen a pesach, and the fact that we believe regarding the bedikas beis pras for the halachas of Korban Pesach, which is a very stringent, which is something that if you don't bring the Korban Pesach this karas, so mehemen a truma, so you're also believed in that same vein regarding halachas of truma, where there's no obligation to eat the truma. You don't get karas if you don't eat it. And if we believe regarding Pesach, we're also going to be leaving you regarding the truma, and therefore you could also eat the truma. Now the Mishnah said, regarding the second stringency of truma over kachim, it said, kadayayin v'kadayshemen v'chule, regarding jugs of wine and jugs of oil. So it said that if they're medumois, which generally means a prohibited mixture, so he said that then they're believed amaratzim at the time of the gittos. So Gemara will explain what that halacha is, but first the Gemara brings tanu l'in abraisa. Amaratzim are not believed, loyal kalkanim, they're not believed not on the jugs, v'loyal truma, and neither are they believed regarding truma. Now the Gemara asks, kankanim demai, when the Braisa says they're not believed regarding jugs, exactly what type of jugs are we talking about? E kankanim de kodesh, if it's talking about jugs of kachim, what do you mean? We just said the halacha concept of migui. Migui de mehemen ha-kodesh, if the kachim inside the jug they're believed, so mehemen name ha-kankanim, just like we said regarding truma, that's mixed together with the kachim, so most definitely they're going to be trusted regarding the jugs holding the kachim. So Ella must be kankanim de truma. They were talking about the jugs that holding the truma. So nothing must pshita. What do you mean? That's obvious that they're not going to be believed. Why would you have to say that? Because hashda truma lemehem, and if regarding truma, where you would say on some level that they are believed, and even there we say that's not at the time of the pressing, they're not believed, sakakala mehem, are they believed regarding the jugs that are holding the truma? For sure not. So Ella, rather, the Gemara concludes, we're talking about birikonim de kodesh. We're talking about that it was jugs that held kodshim, but it's empty. Meaning, after you poured out the kodshim wine from it, and they had maintained these jugs to use for kodshim purposes, they're not believed regarding the safeguarding of those jugs, and we do not consider it tar. So although we believe them regarding the safeguarding of general kodshim of the product itself, like the wine and the oil, but the jug that had once held it, and now they're still maintaining it to use for future kodshim, we do not believe them on the tahara of those jugs. Similarly, ubishayim meisashana, which basically means to say is that this halacha of kodshim applies the whole entire year. As we had said, there's never a difference regarding kodshim between the times of the pressing or other times of the year. So that's one halacha. Regarding the empty jugs of kodshim, at any time of the year, we don't believe them on the jugs. Now there's a second halacha which jugs we don't believe them. Ubemalein de truma b'shasakitis, and even the full jugs of truma. Now we said before the full jugs of truma. Of course we don't believe. We don't believe on the truma, so we don't believe on the jugs either. But we're talking about b'shasakitis, where although we were not geizer on the amaratzim regarding their truma at the time of the gitas or the presses, but that's only because of the loss that's going to result for the kahanim that are chaverim, that are tamid chachamim. Because then it's going to come out, they're ultimately going to be losing the majority of trumas in Eretz Yisrael that are coming from the Amaratzim that are farming it. However, although we believe them because of that, of their produce, that the wine and the oil at the time of the pressing, but we did not believe them regarding the jugs that are holding the truma. So essentially what that means is that the Amaratz can't just give a jug full of truma, even during the time of the pressing, to the Kayin Chaver. Rather, what he has to do is that the Amaretz has to pour it out from his jug into the Kohen Chavr's jug. And as Rashi says, that's not such a foreign thing, as the Gemara says later on, the next daf, that Al Titma, don't wonder about this, because there are jugs that they're tumei for 7 days, but the liquid inside is tahar, and therefore that's a similar concept over here, where although regarding the truma itself, they're believed at the time of the pressing for truma, but however, the jugs themselves are not. So therefore, that's the understanding of what this Bryce was saying when it's talking about that we don't believe them regarding truma, neither do we believe them regarding the jugs. It means the jugs of kodshim all year round and of truma during the times of the Gittis. Now that's where our Mishnah comes in. The Gemara asks, but now we learn in our Mishnah, kadi yain v'kadi shemen hamadu mois, regarding jugs of wine and jugs of oil that have a forbidden mixture. So he said that the Amaratzim are believed at the times of the Kitas. Now the Gemara says, "My lav midumoi is the truma." What is the term dimua? Dimua generally means to say that there was tevel over here, which was not separated its truma from it. And however, he's saying that what is here is tahar. So that we're saying that he's believed. The Mishnah says, "Kadiyain v'kadishemen." Regarding these jugs, he's believed at the times of the Kitas. Now, and what type of jugs are we talking about that have a mixture of what inside? Not just chulin, but has truma also mixed inside, because that's what dimu connotes. So therefore, you see that he is believed. So how can you say that he's not believed regarding the kankanim of truma even at the time of the Gitais, when we see that at the time of the Gitais, he's not just believed on the truma, but he's also believed on the kadayin and the kadei shemen? So the Gemara answers no. Amri de Rebchia, we're not talking about dimois of truma. We're talking about Medumois de Kodesh. We're talking about Halacha of Dimua of Hekdesh. Now the Gemara asks, Umiyaka Dimua de Kodesh? What would that even mean? And that is, as Rashi explains, the term Dimua generally means when you have Tevel, untithed produce, that did not have the Truma separated from it. Now, so therefore that would be Dimua, there's a forbidden mixture mixed in here. It's not just their Truma that they're giving to him, there's also Tevel mixed inside of it. It's just that he's believed regarding the Tahara on the jugs and on the wine that's mixed inside of it. But regarding Kodesh, the Gemara is asking, it doesn't apply to have to separate something from inside of it, to say that the tevel is mixed inside of it. In other words, by truma, there's always chulin, and every tevel has chulin and truma mixed inside of it, because you're going to separate truma from it, and that's inside of it. And this chulin that will be then valid, that's all mixed together with the tevel. that would be a valid case of when he's saying that even if he's giving you this mixed tevel, which has truma, chulin, and tevel inside of it, that he's believed regarding the tahiris, again, if it's the time of the gittes, and then also regarding the jug. But that's a difficulty on what the Gemara just said, that he's not believed regarding the jugs. But based on what you're trying to say, that dimuah is hektish, how do you ever have a case of dimuah, which means to say there's some element of tevel over here, regarding kachim, there's no chiyav when you're separating kachim to be coming from tevel. Truma comes from tevel, but kachim has nothing to do with that. So the Gemara answers as follows. Amri debei b'loi. You're right. B'metar es tivloi. We're talking about that he wants to be believed that the tevel that he has over here, which is dimuah of truma, meaning the untithed produce, which in this untithed produce has chulin and has truma. So that is the case that we're talking about. However, it's litel mimenu nesachim. But however, he wants to take from there nesachim for the wine libations, which are kachim for the mizbeach. And then as Rashi explains, this mixture has a bunch of things inside. It has chulin and has truma. That's why it's called dimuah, because dimuah, the halachic term, only applies to think of tevel, which is chulin and truma. But there's also kachim inside, because he wants to use from that what he's bringing to the kayin, part of it to go for the nesachim on the mizbeach. So, and that is where the migur comes in again. Since he's believed regarding the kaidish, so he's also believed regarding the truma, as we said, and therefore he's also believed regarding the kankanim, regarding the kadei, the jugs of shemen and yayin, as we said before, because that would be degrading for the kachim, that the jugs that you're pouring it out from will be becheskes tuma, as we said, because the jugs of truma are going to be tame, but the kachim itself will be brought, and therefore we say that no, if we kachim could be brought, because we say the kachim he is believed, so then the truma that it's mixed with, which is what makes it dimua, and the jug that's holding it, which is a jug of dimua, will also be able to be considered tahar at the times of the gittos, because since we believe him regarding the kachim, we believe him regarding the rest. However, the halacha will not contradict what we explained in the brisa, that if there was only dimua, meaning if there was only truma and chulin mixed together, then he would not be believed regarding the kankan, and actually the kankan itself would be considered tamei. It's only because we have an element of kachim mixed in, as we had said the logic before, then migud that he's believed on the kachim, he's believed on the truma and on the jug, and that's the case that our Mishnah was talking about, that he believed even on the jug. Now the Mishnah concluded that koidim legito is shivim yayim. This that we believe the Am Haaretz regarding truma, and we'll even believe him regarding the jug, again if it's talking about a case that there's also an element of kachim in here, that we believe him at the time of the pressing, that's even a period of 70 days before. So Abaye says, Shema Mina, what we can infer from this halacha is that dinuhu, this is the halacha, that there's an obligation, the lovei arisa, that it's incumbent upon the sharecropper, who he does the work regarding the produce, lemitrach agulfi, to go after and search for the jugs, shiv miyay mikmei matzarta, 70 days before the pressing, and that is if the owner who has this deal with the sharecropper, he wants him to start getting the jugs already now. He can't say that no, because you see from our Mishnah that even 70 days before people are already getting their jugs for the pressing, and at the times of the pressing they make sure they're kelim atahar. That's why they're believed even 70 days before. So you see that it's within the right of the owner to tell his sharecropper, if it's 70 days before, I want you to get the jugs. As you see how Halacha already says at that point in time, people are already getting their jugs ready for the times of the pressing. Now the Mishnah continues with the next Mishnah. So continuing on the Halachas of the belief that someone has in Am Haaretz regarding the Tahara, specifically of Kalim. So the Mishnah tells us, Min Hamodiyim V'lifnim. From Modiyim, which is the name of a city that's a distance of 15 mil from Yerushalayim, as the Gemara says, M'sechtas P'sachim, Dav Tzad Gimel Mabez. So from Modiyim towards inward, towards Yerushalayim, meaning it's away from where we're talking about Yerushalayim, as we're going to see Yerushalayim is the main reason of this halacha. So if it's as far as Modiyim, but inward, then the Nemanim, then the Kadorim, the people that make pots, who they're Amaratzim, they're ignoramuses, they are believed al klicheres. They're believed regarding the Tahara state of earthenware vessels. In other words, that we could purchase from them these thin earthenware vessels, for example, pots and cups and plates. And the reason why they're believed is because there would be no other way for us to acquire these utensils. Because in Yerushalayim, they're not allowed to make kivshoinis. They don't make these ovens because of the smoke that creates. and they can't make it not to make lime and not to make pots. Therefore, well, how are they going to get it? Because no one could be making it in their kilns. So what they do is they believe the Amaratzim, and we didn't make a gzeira in those situations because we don't make a gzeira on the tzibur that the majority of the tzibur cannot manage, because where are they going to get the utensils from? No one can make an oven. And the only other people are Amaratzim, and therefore, from Modi'im inward towards Yerushalayim, since the people in Yerushalayim cannot make it, so we believe even the Amaratzim. However, min Amadim ulachutz, but from Modi'im outwards away from Yerushalayim, ein amanim, then the Amaratzim are not believed to go ahead and acquire for them Kli Cheres, because we consider their things old tummy. Now the Mishnah explains Ketzat. How do we understand this halacha? So the Mishnah says a few different qualifications. Hakadar shu meicha gederis, regarding the pottery, the pot maker who sells pots. So nichnas lefnim min amodiyim. If let's say he comes within the radius, the area, where we're allowed to purchase from Amaretz, that's a pot seller, if he comes in within that area, now only if it's the following conditions. Hu hakader, he is the pot maker himself, meaning if someone came from without the area of Modi'im and he comes within, we believe him again because we can't do without purchasing from these Amaratzim. But if this pot maker went and gave it over to someone else, a different Amaretz, who he lives within the area of Modi'im or inward, then we do not believe the second person. It has to be the original pot maker. Moreover, the second condition is vehein hakaderis. It has to be those same pots that he brought with him. Then we believe him because he's within that area of the radius. What that comes to exclude is that he cannot combine with him the pots of a different potter maker who lives in Modi'im. It has to be his own pots. And third of all, vehein haloikhin. They have to be the purchasers. In other words, the chaverim, the talmidei chacham, that are makbid about the halachas of tahara, they saw this kader bring it with him, and that it's not by other purchases. In other words, only if it's, we're talking about the original people that saw him bring it, him himself, with his own pots, and they're the purchases, then neman, then he's believed, and then you could purchase from him. But yatza, if he went out from Modi'im to go back home, then in the neman, then he's not believed anymore. Again, that's the halachic line that cuts it off from Modi'im inward there, because we have no choice, because in Yerushalayim we cannot make it, so we have to purchase, and therefore we purchase from these Amaratzim. So we could purchase from Modi'im inward, and if the guy is coming from outside Modi'im to bring it in, to sell within the area that you're allowed to purchase from him, it's only if he's the original one with his original pots, and the ones who are buying are the ones that saw him. But if it's anyone else's situation, then he's not believed and you wouldn't be able to buy it. Now the Gemara says, Tanu learn the Braisa, that Modi'im, regarding the city itself of Modi'im, pa'amim kelifnim, pa'amim kelechutz, it's on the boundary, it's on the border of not good or yes, you could purchase. Sometimes it has halacha like within, that you could purchase over there, and sometimes it has halacha like outside and you cannot purchase from Maratzim over there. So the Gemara says, Keitza. So Braisa says, Kader Yaitze. Let's say the potter maker who was within the area of Modi'im. Now he enters Modi'im on his way out toward outside the area where you're not approached from him. Now V'chaver, the Talmid Chacham, he was coming from without the area of Modi'im, and he's nichnas, he's coming into Modi'im, he's coming towards the area of Yerushalayim. Then Allah is kilifnim. Then we consider Modi'im like the area within, and you're allowed to purchase the pots from him over there. And the reason is because the potter maker is on his way out. Now, if we don't let the Talmid Chacham buy for him now, then there's not going to be any more opportunity because he's already leaving and he's going to be without the area where you're allowed to purchase from him. In such a case, we consider him as still within the area. That's when Modi'im has a halacha like lefnim. But if Shneim Nechnasin, if both of them are entering, meaning both are coming from without Modi'im, and they're coming into the area where you're allowed to, and now they're both in the city of Modi'im, then it has a halacha like without. Because the halacha is, wait until he continues going more within, and he'll be the area of within. Or as the Gemara continues, Tab Chavav Med Aleph, Oishnein Yaitzin. Or if both of them are leaving, they're on the way from within, without, outside of Modi'im, there also halacha will be kelechutz. It'll be like a halacha as they're outside, and you cannot purchase from him. And the reason is, because since they were both at one point within that area, and there he didn't purchase from him, and now they're on their way out together, and now they're in Modi'im, now it's already too late, since he didn't purchase from him when you were inside, now Modi'im, and you're both on your way out, we'll consider it as without. Now, most definitely, as Rashi says, if it's a case of when the potter is coming in, and the chavar is going out, So since ultimately the powder is going further in, then of course we would consider that as without, because we would tell the chaver, you come back and go back to the area of within where he's coming, and there he's going to sell with from within Modiim, and therefore in that case we'll consider Modiim as Lachotz. Om Abayi says, Avanan Amitinina, we similarly learned this halacha in our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah said, HaKadosh HaMachar HaSakadeiris, the potter, the one who makes the pots, that sells the pots, V'nichnis lefnimham min Modiim, and he's coming to the area from within Modiim, then we said he's believed. So the inference is, Taimin de lefnim min Modiim. It's only because he's within, meaning he's beyond Modiim towards Yerushalayim. HaModiim gufo le'mehemen, but Modiim itself is not believed. But Eim HaSeifa, look at the end of the Mishnah. It says, Yatza einay neman. If he leaves Modiim, then he's not believed. But HaModiim gufo neman, but it sounds like, but if he's in Modiim itself, then he is believed. So how do we understand that? Rather, from there we can infer that Khan, the Reisha that said that he's believed, was Bekadu Yoytze v'chaver nichnas. When the potter was leaving and the chaver was coming in, as we said, that then he has no, it wasn't his fault, he was just coming in the word, the area of the chaver, and now he has no more chance because the kadu is leaving, so then we consider Modiim as lefnim and he can purchase from him. Khan, the Sefer that said that if he's leaving, that he's not believed, was b'shishneim yaitzim, when they're both leaving, or as we said, or if both of them are entering, because then you had your chance before, and if you didn't, so now we're considering it as without. And or if they're both coming in, they're also, don't buy Modiim, wait till you get from the area from within, and therefore Shema Mino, we can infer from our Mishnah, which seemingly contradictory, must be like the Brisa says, it depends on the circumstance, if they're, where they're coming from and when they're going. If the chaver is just coming in now and the Amar Arutz is leaving the kader, then they could purchase from him, but and then we'll consider Modiim as Lefnim. But again, if they're both leaving or both entering now, then we'll consider Modiim as Melachotz, and then he wouldn't be able to purchase from the kader.